Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, or even touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You'll not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired for making one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for the man and for the wife, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. The reading of God's word. When did you do something that you really knew you shouldn't do, but you just went ahead and did it anyway? And what kind of trouble did you get yourself into when that happened? Well, I think we've probably all been at that point at some time in our lives. Maybe you were a young person and you had some choices in your life that you decided to make that would end up coming back to haunt you years later. Or maybe you did something at work that you knew would get you into big trouble if you got caught. Maybe it was just something small that you did, like maybe driving your car without wearing your seatbelt. You knew you really shouldn't do it, but seatbelts are just so uncomfortable sometimes. And it's not going to hurt anybody. Nobody's even going to know until you get busted. Well, that's exactly what our scripture text is about this morning. It's about what happens when you get caught red-handed. And today is the start of a new series that we're going to be beginning for the fall. It's called God's Promises. And from now until Advent, we're going to be looking at some of the key promises that God has made throughout the scriptures to us human beings. And we're going to make stops all along the way from the beginning of the Old Testament right through into the New Testament. And we're going to trace God's action throughout the whole narrative of the Bible. And let me give you a spoiler right now, because basically this story just repeats itself over and over and over again. People are walking with God, things are going great, and then people start thinking, for whatever reason, that they don't really need God anymore. And they start to make some poor choices, and they screw things up. And then people get into really deep trouble. And just when things are really starting to look bleak, God steps in and saves the day. Basically, the whole narrative of the Bible just repeats this pattern over and over and over again, different times, different places, with different people, but it's the same story. We mess up, God steps in and saves us. And when God does that, when he rescues us, he makes some promises to us. We call these promises covenants. It's a big fancy word, but you can think of a covenant like a contract. It's like an agreement between two different parties. And there are several times throughout the scriptures when God makes covenants or promises with human beings. And over the course of our series, we're going to take a look at some of these different promises. Today, we're going to begin at the beginning with the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, in my opinion, the point of this story is not about how long it took for God to create the world. When the ancient Hebrews were telling each other this story, they didn't have the same sort of worldview that we have today. They weren't particularly interested in the kinds of questions that we might want to ask. I don't think they cared about exactly what length of time God took in creating the world, whether that was 6 days or 6 billion years. They didn't think about science and history the same way that we think about those things today. And so when we read Genesis, it's important for us to be aware that it's originally written for a culture that's very different from ours. The Genesis story is not about how God created the world, it's about why. What is the meaning of human existence? What is our purpose? Why are we here on this earth? It's also important for you to know that Genesis was a creation story that was told by the Hebrew people in opposition to the other creation stories that other different groups of people and other nations were telling each other. So, for example, the ancient Egyptians and Assyrians believed that multiple gods were ruling over different parts of the world, fighting amongst themselves, and some of these gods really didn't care for human beings very much. In some of these worldviews, humans were basically slaves to the gods. They were at the mercy of the whims of the gods. The Genesis creation story is very much a contrast to this. It's about one God who created the entire universe out of nothing. Humans were created to bear God's image, to be God's agents on earth. God created humans to represent God's self to the rest of creation in order to look after it and care for it. In the Genesis story, the meaning of human existence is to act as God's representatives on earth. So being a human is an honored position of great responsibility and great privilege. So here's the thing. God creates Adam and Eve, and God places them in the Garden of Eden to take care of it. And they're completely free to do anything they want. There's just one simple rule. Don't eat the forbidden fruit. God tells them they can have anything else they want, any other tree, any other fruit. They can do whatever they want. There's just that one rule. God warns them that one tree is poisonous. He tells them if they eat from it, they'll die. So don't eat it. So what do? They decide to eat the poison fruit. Literally, the one and only thing that God has told them not to eat. When God comes looking for them, they know already that they've made a really big mistake. They're embarrassed and ashamed. At first, they try to hide from God, because that's really going to work. When God confronts them for it, Adam blames Eve, and Eve blames the serpent. Nobody's willing to actually accept responsibility for what they've done. Now, this part of Genesis can seem to be kind of dark. God warned Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit. God explained to them if they did eat from it, they would die. And they still chose not to listen. And now they're going to have to deal with the consequences of their decisions. kind of like what happens when your kid chooses to go ahead and do the very thing that you warned them not to do. One of my own earliest childhood memories is from when I was 3 years old. My family was living on the island of Grand Turk. As a sidebar, that's part of the Turks and Caicos Islands, and that was really hit badly by the hurricane. So let's continue to pray for those folks. The island was tiny. It was about 5 miles long and 2 miles wide. And my parents just had this one little motorcycle that they used for getting around the island. And I remember I was fascinated by this magic cloud of gas that would come out of the muffler. It was just so amazing the way it would billow out. And I remember reaching out my hand to touch the pretty cloud. My mom caught me just in time and she said, "Don't touch that, it's hot. You'll burn your hand." But for some reason, I decided not to listen to her sage wisdom. Thinking with a three-year-old brain, I realized, hey, she didn't say I couldn't touch the muffler with the back of my hand. Well, let's just say that decision did not end well for me. I had to suffer the consequences of my action, which means that to this day, I still have a little scar on the back of my knuckle. But I'm lucky it wasn't worse. But what I remember the most about that day is my mom rubbing my back and cuddling with me as I cried. I knew I had done something wrong. I had done exactly the very thing that she told me not to do. I managed to rationalize it to myself somehow. And now I had to suffer the consequences. But she was there with me anyways afterwards, putting ice on my hand, comforting me, helping me to heal. When God warned Adam and Eve not to eat from the poison tree, or they would die. And Adam and Eve made a really bad decision in the Garden of Eden by doing just that. And now they have to live with the consequences. But the incredible thing is, God doesn't just abandon them. He doesn't say, like, "That's it, I'm done, I'm out." And God doesn't leave them alone in their mess. Right away, they know they've done something wrong, but God seeks them out. They're hiding in the garden, and God calls to them and draws them back. God tells them that, yes, they will have to deal with the consequences, but he doesn't abandon them. He does have to send them out from the garden, because if they eat from the tree of life, they'll be stuck living forever in their broken state. But first, before he does that, he creates the first leather clothing to protect their skin and to keep them warm. By sending them out into the world, God puts the humans in a place where they'll have to learn how to grow and change. But God goes with them. God doesn't just stay in the garden. God goes with them out into the big world outside of it. And God provides for them everything they need to survive. They learn how to work the land, how to raise crops, how to harvest animals for food and shelter. And they survive to have children and build a family. Even though they will experience all the hardships and difficulties of life during their years ahead, God does not abandon them. God meets them there, outside of the garden. In the place that's not perfect, God shows up. God has promised Adam and Eve, these two messed up, broken people, that they will bear God's image in the world. And they will. God's covenant with them and their descendants is that they will continue to be God's agents here on earth. And that promise is never taken away. Adam and Eve do continue to bear the image of God throughout their lives, and they pass that promise on to all of their descendants, even to us today. Sometimes it's when we've messed up the most that we realize how much we need God. Because he doesn't just leave us alone to sit in that mess. He enters into it with us. He goes with us outside of the garden. God helps us to have the courage that we need to deal with the consequences of our own dumb mistakes and to start making things right again. We've inherited a lot from Adam and Eve. We bear the consequences of their sin because we live in a world that is a difficult, broken, messed up place sometimes. But we also bear the image of God. Our Creator gave us the task of caring for the world, acting as God's agents here on earth. This original covenant is still in place. God has promised that we are a very good creation, and God's image dwells within us. It's our responsibility to live that out in the world. It's still our job today to care for the earth and all of its creatures. We are called to reflect the love that God has for the world. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you love broken, messed up people, people just like us. Thank you that despite the stupid mistakes we make, you always call to us and welcome us back. You help us to try to make things right, God. Thank you that you are a God of grace and compassion, a God of love that's so much more than what we even deserve. Thank you, God, that no matter what mistakes we make, it's never too late for us to turn to you, to seek you, and you're always waiting there for us. Thank you, God, that you meet us outside the garden. In Jesus' name, amen.